WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road. We're going to be doing lots and lots of dates. I am lining up all sorts of stuff, but we're starting the party on the 5th of April. We're going to be at Costas celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Maryland Lottery. The Costas is an original lottery distributor in my homeland of Dundalk. We'll be there from 2 until 5 on the 5th. And then on the 7th, we're going to be at Fadley's downtown at the old Lexington Market, getting ready for Springsteen and the Eagles to open the new CFG Bank Arena. It's the morning after opening day on the 6th. So we're going to be downtown all around Pappas, Bel Air in April. We're pulling into Captain Larry's in late April downtown in Federal Hill and trying Mara's delicious crab cake that I've heard so much about. So big time, big stuff. And also brought to you by our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free, and you get 0% financing for 24 months. And my wife was looking at a car. I was talking to Dennis over at Coons Ford. Financing's a big deal. 0% is a big deal for 24 months. Take advantage of that at Window Nation. This guy is a run-and-gun gangster, and because he's a run-and-gun gangster, I've got some show-and-tell for him in this particular segment because I've been buying stuff on eBay. Since the Ravens and Chad Steele threw me out, I got all my season ticket money back, all my air, like, so I'm buying $5 newspapers and stuff, and this guy is so into the draft, and I haven't talked any draft. We're 4 weeks out on the draft. Mike Tenier has been my friend, one-time algebra teacher to the great Joe Flacco, Super Bowl champion Joe Flacco. I like to spike the ball on that, and we welcome him back in from, you know, I had Aaron on last week, and he said, you got to call Tenier if you want draft stuff. And I said, of course I'm going to call you. How's life in Philly? I mean, I know it's been tough times up there losing championships.
Well, tough times losing championships, and I missed Springsteen. You know, we talked it over in terms of our budget, and it's like, were we going to go to see Springsteen or not? My wife and I, and we opted for not. And as it turned out, he missed a couple shows before the Philly show. So it would have been touch and go whether we even got to it. But other than missing Springsteen and losing the Super Bowl, weather's beautiful here in Philly. Everything's going well.
Well, Springsteen's coming back. He's doing his stadiums. He's playing Camden Yards. He's going to be down here in Baltimore on the 7th. So there will be another opportunity. And I will tell you, Springsteen was in great form in State College. I saw the State College show the other night. And this is where I picked up all these old heirlooms and sticking around with Dick Girardi and telling old Orioles 1966 World Series newspaper stories. Give me some fresh from you. I mean, it's all Lamar here, right? I mean, you can imagine if this were the Philadelphia Eagles in your market, up where you are, in this circumstance, and what's happened here. Kid hadn't played in the playoffs. It's obviously there's bruised feelings. There are, you know, I don't know if it's reparable or not, the non-exclusive tag. Where do you sit on this? I mean, I love your insights on the league, and I know you like to break the games down and talk about the X's and O's, but this time of year to Jimmy and the Joes, and it's a time for pay and not a time for play, and this is, for our city, this has been one of the biggest stories that I've been a part of in 31 years. Because I don't think anybody, I don't think John Harbaugh knows if he's going to be his quarterback or not. I know if he knows if he wants him to be or not.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he wants him to be in the sense that not only is Lamar a free agent, but the backup's a free agent as well. So it's not like there's a plan B. There's not even a plan C right now, besides retaining the rights to Lamar and at least bringing him back on the franchise tag. And, you know, this keeps evolving almost on a daily basis, but only as a whispered down the line thing. You know, these things do not come out of even the formal channels of agents we know. And all I can say about it is all the things that can go wrong when a player negotiates for himself have gone wrong. From the lack of communication back and forth to the bruised feelings elements of things. So, yeah, I think what we're seeing and hearing a lot of Lamar from Lamar right now, he went in representing himself or with this representation he's got, which is kind of like not normal. And
well, not even legitimate. I mean, literally not recognized by the standards that they recognize representation.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say in so many words. So, you know, you have this guy come in, And Lamar heard some things he didn't want to hear, because when you negotiate, sometimes you come to the guy and say, we need you to be X, Y, Z. You're not perfect. You're not flawless. That's the things you say to Drew Rosenhaus, Lee Steinberg, and they relate to the player. Lamar hears them fresh. Lamar gets upset about it. Lamar goes into a funk and sends this representative in. The Ravens don't want to talk to this representative or don't want to take it seriously or don't want to negotiate. These are all the things that can go wrong, and they are going wrong. And I don't see a normal exit strategy for this, except for the fact that the Ravens, no matter what, unless somebody makes an offer, retain the rights to Lamar Jackson. He cannot do anything else but play for the Ravens or essentially retire.
It the fact that it's come to this, right? And the fact that you see this, I see. I spent the morning listening to Gary Williams speak at this Insight Connects event this morning, and everybody's coming up to me, and I'm in a room with grown-ups and business people, and they're all like, this kid has lost so much money that he's never going to get back. And when you consider that he played for $20 million less than he should have last year, and did not help his case, that there is no mystery $250 million bidder out there at this point. And I don't think, you know, if Jim Irsay wants him, it's not going to cost $231 million to get him, because I think the Ravens will just say, give me your picks and go, because like, he doesn't want to be here. And I think it's going to be very easy for the Ravens, whenever they decide to part, to say he didn't want to be here, if that's the case. And if somebody comes in with a reasonable contract and the Ravens really love him long time and they really want a kumbaya and they feel like they can have a kumbaya. I mean, he wasn't at their playoff game. I mean, just the optics of any of this. And you mentioned Lee Steinberg, and I'm going to pay homage to Lee because Lee did the show yesterday. Yeah. And we hung out for a while, and I forgot to show this to him. Back at, you know, I was a Houston Oilers fan, right? So when you do all this run and gun gangster thing that you do on your right and your little Baltimore board that you had up there, like, I found this on the internet, my man, and this is legit.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, it actually fits me. It's not a gamer. It was a fan jersey. This was like $120 in 1989 when I wanted it, and I didn't have $120. Springsteen was only $20 then, right? Literally, right? Tickets to the games were only $20, but all the licensed stuff was really expensive and stupid. $33.97. I bought this online. I used my bartering skills to talk him down for $50 and to 30 and delivered. And it even smells okay because I made – so I am the original run and gun gangster here.
Yeah, you're the run and shoot gangster.
I'm giving that to you. So, yes. So, anyway. But you mentioned Lee Steinberg, and the first thing you're like is, I saw the graphic the other day that if he has to play for $33 million this year, Josh Allen will have made $160 million and he will have made $59. That's unbelievable.
Yep, and this is the thing that – like on Twitter, people like to like cheerlead for Lamar Jackson. And I love Lamar Jackson. I would love to cheerlead for Lamar Jackson. If I'm a fan, I can cheerlead for Lamar Jackson. There are analysts who like to cheerlead for Lamar Jackson and say, well, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter because he's going to stick to his guns and he's going to get what he wants. He's already so far in the hole. Nobody wants to say this. Already so far in the hole for not taking what was available, or at least negotiating based on what was available into something different, that it's going. You would have to have this angel investor show up with 230 guaranteed to get out of it. And again, like you said, that person is not appearing right now because in addition to the injuries, in addition to the fact that there's a sketchiness around how you go to his representation, all the things you mentioned at the end of that season. Well, what is the state of your ankle? And is it the state of your ankle or is it the state of your heart and soul for the NFL right now that you weren't at these playoff games, that there was no effort to come back? These are all questions that all these teams are looking at. And none of these teams need a quarterback solution anymore, except the Jets, who are about to be married to Aaron Rodgers, and the team.
That's not a marriage. That's a weekend. That's him and one of those girls he was on the internet with. He's there 6 months.
He's a Henry VIII marriage. It's a Henry VIII marriage because there's a big to do because we have to bring him in from some other nation to solve the problem. And he doesn't get his head chopped off. He's the one who chops somebody's head off in 6 months.
I have a feeling that won't have a happy ending for Joe Douglas. So somehow, I'm just thinking that's not going to be.
Yes, Joe Douglas signed his death warrant with this.
Yeah, I don't know. I love Joe, so it's hard for me. But I can tell you.
He didn't sign his death warrant. Woody Johnson issued his death sentence by saying, do this.
When the owner's dictating the quarterback, you get Jimmy Haslam and at the heart of this, when I talked to Lee Steinberg, he's like, that contract's in a part of the market. It's not an outlier. It's part of the market. Now, what you think of Lamar, you want to beat him up about not playing and this and that and the style and how many runs and do I have to change my offense? And more than that, there were so many layers to this. And Eric's the smartest guy in the room and went to Indianapolis, came back, put the non-exclusive on him, and here we are. You know, we're all waiting for the phone to ring. So. Yeah. The Ravens knew the market. That's what experts do. In the same way that Lee Steinberg or Drew Rosenhaus would know the market for Lamar and would have negotiated this better for him. But as the days go on for all of this, the salary cap space that would need
Yes.
to be made available for any other team. That's really, to me, the issue is, what am I going to cut five players, give away two draft picks to bring
Right.
this kid in who I've never even met, and
Right.
he doesn't have an agent. And
Right.
if, when it comes time to get salary cap help 2 years from now when we get good, how are we going to get him to come back to the table and do what every quarterback in the league does, which is take now money and give money back? He
Right.
doesn't have an agent. It's mind-boggling to me, Mike.
Right. And he, not only does he not have an agent, but we've seen a couple of players, Laremy Tunsil, who know how to work this system without having an agent because they understand these things. And they're probably, you know, they have a lawyer, so they have somebody who's giving them advice, but they recognize this. I get the impression Lamar Jackson doesn't really recognize these things, that he kind of believes that because of his incredible talent, that will open the doors for him. And at this level, that's not enough. That will open the door to franchise tags. It opened the door for whatever they offered last year, the Ravens, et cetera. But if you want to go to that next tier, you need an expert. You need an expert. And I'll say this, by the way. You mentioned how the Deshaun Watson contract is in the market. It absolutely is in the market. The Patrick Mahomes contract is in the market. The $500 million contract is in the market. But Josh Allen even looks at that and says, no, that's not what we're going to negotiate our way up to. Nobody's looking at the Patrick Mahomes contract and saying, we need that $500 million right now. They realize that's, maybe it's not an outlier, but it's a different structure. Anyone who's trying to get a contract right now, looking at $250 million guaranteed over 5 years, has to look and say that is a different structure that is probably not in the best interest of it's in the best interest of my client, but not the people I'm negotiating with. And therefore, it's unlikely, extremely unlikely to happen and could get in the way of what they could really get, which is $200 million guaranteed, $190 million guaranteed, staggering guarantees that work their way up to $250 million, but you have to space them out. All these other things that are on the table if you know how to negotiate them.
What do you think is going to happen?
I think he's going to play under the franchise tag this year. And on the one hand, normally I think they would have kept Harbaugh out of this to a degree so that Harbaugh could be a peacemaker day to day. But that hasn't really happened because when he doesn't show up for the playoff games and his availability is questioned, I think Harbaugh is somewhat frustrated.
I have said that they're done with him. I mean, the fact that they've dangled him, like, they kind of want to be done with him in my mind.
If they're
not that they want to play football without him, but they just don't. They don't like drama. And this is this has not been good for them.
They hate drama. So if they really are done with him, they should be on the phone with the Jets right now, saying, "Come on, let's just you want a younger guy who's not this weirdo out here that you can count on for 2, 3, 4 years. We will play ball with you, et cetera." And maybe they're doing that. And maybe Joe Douglas is trying to find this agent's phone number and get something. But the Ravens don't have any good exit strategies either. That's the thing. If there was somebody out there and they, match the offer and then we'll go, I think they would. But bringing in Monken, some of the other things they did there, these are not like come on back to the fold Lamar Jackson situations. That said, that seems to be the only scenario that makes any sense.
It doesn't feel good either way. Mike Tenier is here. He is the run and gun gangster. I am the run and shoot gangster. Thank you for clarifying that. And so draft. Back before when DaCosta and Harbaugh were doing their lies at the Indianapolis Combine that I was locked out of for the first time in 27 years. And you were there, I think, and participating.
Yes.
I was watching on the interwebs and, you know, watching them praise Lamar and DaCosta got in trouble with the wide receiver room and like all of that happened. But I thought to myself, well, wow, if this is the here and the now and the time that they're going to part with Lamar and find a suitor. And at this point, I thought the Panthers were in play. I thought the Bucks were in play. I thought the Saints were the teams that we thought were in play 4 weeks ago that aren't anymore.
Right.
Obviously, some of them gave a lot of money to a lot of players and took real directions that said, we don't want Lamar. That when I thought that was in play, I really thought, like, the Ravens are going to be looking at these quarterbacks, and it's going to be important because they're going to get one of them, and this is going to be the next guy. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't feel like – it feels like if I talked to you 3 weeks ago, we would have been talking about that. I don't think that that's the play. What's the play here in regard to the draft itself and these quarterbacks going at the top and how this is going to play out 4 weeks?
Well, in terms of the draft and the quarterbacks, you're going to see – Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson all go in the top 10. And I don't think – in trading up to get into that top 10, I don't think it's going to be an option for the Ravens in any meaningful sense. After that, the drop-off is significant. I know a lot of people talk up Will Levis. as a possibility. The more people are actually looking at Will Levis's tape and film from 2022, the more they're realizing this is not a solution. So then you get to your next level of guys, and you're talking about people like Hendon Hooker from Tennessee, who I kind of like, but I think is only like 6 months younger than Lamar Jackson or something. Like, don't hold me to that, but it's like a significant thing. Hooker's like a six-year senior. He's coming off of an injury. There's guys like the kid out of UCLA, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. These are not good options. These are not better options than your backup right
Stetson
now.
Stetson Bennett.
Stetson Bennett. You want to get the winner who go out there. I could have won eight games with Georgia at quarterback. I could have won eight games.
We had Todd Monken, though. We got him. Why not get the quarterback? I'm doing sports radio with you.
That's right.
We talk about these things here.
The proven winner. He's going to come in here and do it. It's like, yeah, he's going to come in there. And you know, he can
He's going to look like the sixth-round quarterback that you drafted.
He looked like the guy coming off of a DWI who's small and old and handed off to everybody and let his defense win games. So, yeah, the solution's not there. The solution's not there for the Ravens. The solution is there for the Houston Texans to grab Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud. That solution's not there for the Ravens. That guy you think you're going to get third, fourth, fifth round is a very low percentage chance of doing anything.
How many years did you teach math?
17.
17. For those listening on radio, and if you're watching, Tanier did the power teacher move of taking the glasses off in tremendous frustration when I mentioned Stetson Bennett. The teacher power move. For the draft itself, and yeah, we always speak in Raven needs here, obviously. Patrick Queen might be moved between now and, you know, there are things that are going to happen here in regard to Calais Campbell visiting and Marcus Peters, and last year's team will not be next year's team at all.
Yeah.
Deep in the secondary, you know, things that the Ravens feel like they can get in the draft. And again, they only had five draft picks and they dealt out to get a seventh round pick and Chuck Clark and whatever. And they'll probably get a couple more picks back.
Yeah.
What are they going to find in this draft? What is this draft about?
Cornerbacks coming out of their ears. Where, when in doubt, teams should just grab a cornerback. Unbelievable amount of talent. The amount of these guys who are 6'1", 6'2", can run 4.44s. Can move laterally and understand what they're doing out there, aren't just sort of like chasing guys around, can read routes. There are so many of them. You can get one in the first round. You can get starters in the second, third round at cornerback. Edge, which I know that the Ravens always love to look for edge, and they love edges they can develop. There's a lot of talent in terms of a developmental edge. If you want to get a guy out there like Lucas Van Ness, who has an unbelievably good athletic profile, he would be available. I'm trying to find the name of the young man now from Iowa, Will McDonald, who was stuck playing like defensive tackle at 235 pounds. And every time they would move him to the edge, you could see how like quick and bendy were. These are the kind of guys they could develop. The young man from USC, who again, I got to pull his name up so I say it right.
Were you a fan of Owa when they drafted him?
I was a fan of Owa. And I thought of Owa in terms of being a good Ravens draft pick, because you're usually being brought along behind Calais Campbell, or you're being brought along behind somebody else. Now, we haven't seen that elevation really, I don't think, yet, but they like getting that year three guy. Like that defensive player who in year one does very little, year two, they're in a rotation, year three. There's a lot of that kind of guy. Like I was saying, the young man from USC, Tui Tula, oh my goodness, Tui Puleto, is another guy, like 265 pounds, built like a brick, has a couple of different moods. These are developed more. That's out there. What there's not a lot of is go-to wide receiver where you can say this wide receiver is here and this is going to be the guy. It's a lot more super little, 175 pounds, soaking wet, little screen pass, run the bomb, small target to hit over the middle, runs like the wind. There's
these guys that are 6'2", they make them corners. They groom them to be corners. Hey, kid, you're a good athlete. You're not a wide receiver. You're a corner, right? I mean, that's literally when these kids are 14 years old and they can pedal backwards, they turn these kids into corners because they're more valuable.
Well, what happens in high school is they play both ways. They're corner receivers both ways. Then they get into college and the judge machine decides which way you go. But these schools that are running tons and tons of spread offense, they're looking for these 5'7", 5'8" speedsters, and they're happy to get them. And those guys don't do well on defense because you can run at them and plow them. So you find out, especially this year, the bigger guys, the bigger athletes are all over a cornerback.
Well, Mike Denier giving us a full spectrum. Give us a lowdown on where all your inside information is. Aaron did it last week. I want to give you a chance to talk about the outsiders and the insiders and the DVOA and all that you guys are doing out there to bring football nerdery to Luke Jones and others who love the game.
Well, come out, check out Football Outsiders. Right now, in terms of draft stuff, you can check out the FO 100. That is my 100-player countdown that will get you through the three rounds. You're a Ravens fan, you want to get like a three-round mock draft in your mind, you can look through all the prospects. We've got stats, we've got quotes from the players, but you got scouting reports. I also have something called the Fantasy 40. So if you're more like, look, I just want to see if we can get a receiver, a running back, maybe another tight end, et cetera. I don't know why, because you have plenty of tight ends. You lost Oliver, so you get a tight end. You can check out the fantasy side. That's available. And of course, we've got the DVOA. You know, the thought leader in terms of analysis is there. Come to FO. If you like it, become an FO Plus subscriber. You get access to our fantasy data, our gambling data, and our data all year round.
Well, you know, you got Reggie White behind you. I got Warren Moon with me. You know, we're just
I think I get
paid. Every time I see it, I start singing a Houston Oilers song a little bit, so it gives me a little bit of extra juice. Hey, man, I hope to get you to a Springsteen show. I mean, maybe I'll come up there and piggyback. Me, you, and Dick Girardi will go see the boss for one of the stadium shows later on in the summer. But he's worth seeing. I'll just say don't pay too much, but try to get there, all right?
I've seen him about 20, 25 times total. I'm feeling it might be the one last time, so I'm going to look into that.
All right. Well, we'll get you there. We'll get you there. Mike, I appreciate you. Football Outsiders, you can follow Mike Denier. He is a running gun gangster, and I am a run and shoot gangster. We are putting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. We're going to start on April 5th. We're going to be at Costas and Dundalk. On the 7th, we're at Fadley's. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation. Our wise conversation continue around here. March Madness, opening day around the corner. And I've come up with a new term for this, and I'm debuting this week at Baltimore Positive. The Lamarathon. We are BaltimorePositive.com. Stay with us.